Welcome back to Upstate's Health Link on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, over the past 20 years, marathon running has become an increasingly popular test of one's ultimate fitness and health. More and more people are trying it. And with the summer season ahead, there are many more races of all lengths being scheduled. But there are also some real hazards associated with this sport, and some high-profile deaths have occurred. Well, joining us this morning to help us understand the benefits of competitive running and how best to keep runners safe is Dr. Jeremy Joslin, an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Upstate Medical University and the director of the Wilderness and Expedition Medicine Fellowship. Dr. Joslin also serves as the medical director for marathons, including the Empire State Marathon and the Syracuse Ironman, and travels throughout the country and the world, I might add, providing services to other endurance events. Thanks for coming in, Dr. Joslin.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us, first of all, what does a medical director of marathons do? I mean, what do you do in that capacity?
A couple of things. One is to help the race organizer to provide a safe race. So that means considering things that could go wrong with somebody who's running a race and try to prepare for those problems that might occur, and to help coordinate general safety, general medical guidelines, and general medical care that might occur on
the
race.
So to make sure that they have whatever facility, space they would need to take care of somebody who might fall and have hypothermia, or not hypothermia, probably hyperthermia,
right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that there's sufficient, stuff that they would need.
Right. Basically, you provide a risk assessment, and then you provide a methodology to mitigate those risks.
Okay. So how long have you been doing that?
A couple of years now, probably, I would say, 5 years.
Right. And it sounds like you've traveled not only all over this country, but you've also traveled worldwide. Where have you gone?
I worked a race. It sounds a little crazy. A group of people, probably a little bit over 100, did an ultramarathon, 150 miles in the Sahara Desert, and similar length.
You do sound crazy.
Yeah. Similar length in the Gobi Desert in western China as well.
Are you a marathoner yourself?
I am not.
Oh, my goodness. So you must look at these people a little bit askance. I mean, what are they thinking?
Right. They are a really great group of people to work with, though.
Uh-huh.
There's a certain personality that comes out in someone who's running a marathon, an ultramarathon, and that's just real enjoyable to be around.
Really? Well, what are the elements of that? What do you see?
I see people who, look at a challenge and aren't afraid to go after it, especially if it's the crazy sounding, like 150 miles in the middle of a desert. The person who's interested in going after that objective and doing whatever it takes is just fun to talk with.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Well, it probably affects many, many aspects of their life. So let's start, first of all, what are the health benefits of running something like a marathon? There obviously are benefits to it.
Well, right. And I think most of the benefit comes with the training. It's probably not the marathon itself, but the training. So in order to run a marathon, you've got to be trained for it. And we all know that training, running cardiovascular exercise helps with your cholesterol profile. It helps with your heart. It helps with a lot of things.
Probably your mental health as well in
right.
many cases.
Yeah.
So it's basically the idea of running, or if not a marathon, just the idea of a regular regimen of some kind of activity like running or some exercise
right.
activity is going to be beneficial.
Right, and really training yourself and improving your body to the point where it can accomplish some of these feats.
Whether it's even just a 5 mile run or
correct.
A 5K run for that matter. So what are the potential hazards though? I mean, what are the things you worry about? Obviously, when you go to these different sites and they say, okay, help us figure right. out what the risks are. What are the hazards?
I think of three main ones. One is a cardiovascular event. So people do have heart attacks or have a problem with their heart, and unfortunately there are deaths. But some of the more recent literature, the New England Journal of Medicine just published an article on this, it really doesn't seem to be much greater than the average background population. But it is something that can occur. Whenever you have a large group of people, you think about some of these marathons are tens of thousands of people. So a bad event like that could happen within any group, but it could happen within a marathon as well.
But it doesn't sound to me like you're attributing it necessarily to the event as much as it's just almost a random sample right. of a population.
Right, and I think that we've sort of gone back and forth with this idea that it causes it or it's just a background event. And I think the latest article that really looked at 50 million runners over the last 10 years, I think gives the best perspective that it's just about the same as a background rate, and it probably doesn't cause a sudden death event.
But nevertheless, you must have to be prepared then. Correct. I mean, for something right. like that.
Yeah, so that's happening. One of the big three that I think of to be prepared for if or when it should occur.
What other hazards? What are hazards that you feel are very definitely associated with running a marathon or an ultra marathon?
So hyponatremia and hyperthermia or heat stroke. Those are the two main ones that I attribute to it.
What's hyponatremia? What does that mean?
So that's when the sodium level in your body gets a little bit too low. Basically, you water down your blood by drinking too much water.
Hmm.
And there's some interesting aspects to this condition. One is the people who run a little bit slower in the race and are on the race course for longer tend to drink more just because they don't have a lot of other things to do. And because
while
people
they're
are
running?
Right. If people are giving them water all the time, and they tend to drink a little bit more than they probably should.
That's interesting.
The other hyperthermia occurs when it's a hot day and your body's producing more heat than it can get rid of.
So that's pretty obvious, and that's why, hence, people would drink, you would think, to somehow cool themselves down.
Right. So it's important to be hydrated so that you don't get hyperthermia, but it's probably not as directly correlated as a lot of people think. So you can't prevent hyperthermia necessarily from drinking more as long as you're hydrated.
What's interesting is, I know the Boston Marathon recently this year had like record heat, I think up to 88 degrees some runners mm-hmm. were running, and many people, I think, took a pass or dropped out. I mean, is there no way to control for that in your preparation or in your training so that you wouldn't develop hypothermia?
The best thing would be to acclimatize yourself. So that means just training in the heat and getting your body used to the heat. That can occur in about 7 to 10 days if you're running every day. Or, interestingly, if you run every third day in the heat for 30 days, you get the same effect as if you would run every day for 7 to 10 days.
So your body adapts?
Is
that the idea?
Yeah, there's certain blood vessels in your skin that work a little bit better to get that heat out to your skin so that it can blow off into the air. Your salt levels in your sweat actually go down, so your sweating is more efficient. You turn on your sweat glands earlier so that you start to cool off earlier so that you don't accumulate that heat. There's a lot of interesting things that happen with the body as it tunes itself.
That's very, very interesting, because I don't know that I would have even thought that possible. So part of your whole training regimen, in a sense, if you think you might be running in a warm day or in a summer month, that you should basically train for that.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And your body can't accommodate it.
Absolutely. I think one of the, I won't say the worst things, but I think it'd be a disservice to yourself to train for a summer marathon by running on a treadmill and air conditioning.
Very, very good point. It's a key point. So what other problems do you find? I mean, you mentioned the hypernatremia or hyponatremia and the hyperthermia, but do you also see a lot of orthopedic injuries, overuse syndrome? I mean, is that part of the picture as well?
I don't personally see a lot of the overuse syndromes, mostly because I deal with the event, a lot of planning, and then the day of the event. I'm in emergency medicine, so I don't do a lot of the follow-up care, so I don't see a lot of the overuse stuff. There are people who trip and get scrapes and bruises, things like that. I think for the most part, this person who runs a marathon is the kind of person to get up, brush themselves off, and keep running. And then when they get home, a loved one looks at them and says, "What in the world were you thinking? Look at that wound."
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so that just goes along with the mentality of facing every challenge. So how important is something like diet, though, during training? In other words, you hear kind of old wives' tales. Well, you have to fill up and have a pasta meal before a run. I mean, are there special things you should be eating or not eating?
I have my personal philosophy about it, but I don't really follow the literature or the research that happens with that. I try to focus on the major problems and the safety of a runner, and not so much the optimization when it comes to diet and things that people do to prepare. I have heard that. I have friends who run and they always eat a pasta meal before.
Oh, they do?
The night before, yeah.
To, so it's to not carbo an old wives' load, tale.
To increase their glycogen storage. Or
I thought it had to do with really also avoiding problems. I didn't think it was only maximized performance, but apparently it's more that.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, I tell runners when I'm dealing with them in events that are sort of bigger events to not change anything on game day, to do your routine, to do the things that you found that your body likes to do before a run. And these people have done this before, and they tend to have an idea what works best for them, and I don't like to give them advice to change it.
In the little bit of time we have left, what do you think about young children running things, you know, long distances? Do you see any hazards, or do you think that if they start young, they can continue throughout life?
Oh, my. I think probably regular exercise is good for children. I'm not sure that pushing them to an endurance level is probably, just off the top of my head, is something that I would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
But I think regular exercise is definitely important.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. It's hard to walk this fine line between, you know, optimal fitness and pushing yourself too far. Well, thanks so much for sharing this important information with us. My guest has been Dr. Jeremy Joslin, an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Upstate Medical University and the director of the Wilderness and Expedition Medicine Fellowship. We have to take a short break for the news, so please stay with us. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air and FM News Radio, 106.9 and 570 WSYR.